The January 11th, 2016 regular council meeting of the City of Shore Acres was called to order by Mayor Moses at 7 p.m. Alderman McCowan, Alderwoman Schnell, Mayor Moses, Mayor Pro Tem Adams, and Alderman Wheeler were present. Alderman Jennings was not present.
And then we'll follow up with community feedback at the end. As a reminder, here's our report commission. Your representative is Stephen Don Carlos. He represents the Harris County Mayors and Councils Association. So if you ever need anything more than what your staff can offer, your representative at the commission level is Commissioner Don Carlos. In April of 2015, the Port Authority adopted a new strategic plan. Our mission and vision are listed there. We have four strategic objectives. We're working through action plans to align those objectives between the different departments so we can work more collaboratively on our internal people, business growth, infrastructure, and our stewardship as well. Very quick state of the port overview. We went through a recent economic report. Our last one was in 2011. The most recent one in 2014 showed that we are now up 148,000 jobs, and the Port of Houston is responsible for 1.175 million jobs, $255 billion in total economic value. Our operating revenue is actually up. I think I have updated numbers. It's about a little over 12%, but our spending is actually only up 8%, so we're working more efficiently. And our cash flow is about $116 million. And I should mention that the Port of Houston is responsible for $5 billion in state and local tax revenues as well. There's a lovely picture in the top left corner. Those are the brand new cranes that we welcomed in May at our Barber's Cut container terminal. These are the largest cranes that Coney Cranes makes. They span out 22 containers wide, but I believe Bayport already has that capability as well. So this was helping to upgrade our Barber's Cut terminal. And of course, I don't want to steal Ryan's thunder, but I'm going to. We, in 2015, we reached 2 million TEUs coming through our container ports. That's the really quick port overview. I'll let Ryan cover Bayport Capital Projects and the master plan.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, of course.
Good evening, Mayor, council members. Like Leslie said, thank you for the opportunity to come in and present to you guys what we have going on at the Bayport Container Terminal. My name is Ryan Mariocker. Those of you that don't know me, I'm the director for all container operations at both Bayport and Barber's Cut. We've got a lot of good things going in 2016 at our Bayport Terminal. Excuse me. Like Leslie said, in 2015, we finally eclipsed the 2 million TEU mark. Across all docks at the Port of Houston Authority. The main drivers for that are the Barber's Cut and Bayport Terminal. We're going to be talking Bayport specifically with you guys this evening. So some things you'll see going on at our facility right now, we're in the process of developing 25 acres of what we're calling Container Yard 6 North. That'll be done midway through this year. The next phase of yard redevelopment will be just south of that, an additional 25 acres, giving us a total of 50 acres on the northwest corner of the facility. On the northeast corner, we're going to be doing a wharf extension later on this year. It's going to be a 700-foot extension squaring the dock off to 4,000 feet. This is a project that we've designed over the last couple years. It's affiliated with a Tiger Grant that we were awarded through MARAD 2 years ago, actually. This will provide the foundation for three additional superposed Panamax cranes. Similar configuration as to what Leslie mentioned before with the cone cranes that were just delivered to Barber's Cut in the middle of last year. Next, if you've driven up and down Port Road, you've seen construction going on in what we're calling Container Freight Station Road. That's about a mile-long road that will provide access to the Bayport South acreage, which is this area here, which shows future development for real estate, warehousing, kind of support infrastructure to hopefully drive more business through the container terminal. That's what it's designed to do. This yellow box right down here at the entry gate is showing 8 additional lanes that we'll be adding later on this year to our in-gate complex. Just adding capacity to all of our infrastructure to be able to support more volume through the facility. And last but certainly not least is the channel improvement project that's been ongoing. It continues through the year. The original hope was to have it done by this summer. That's still our target date, but we'll see what happens as we continue to move forward. What this is doing, of course, is going down to 45 feet, widening the channel by 50 feet in the land cut and 100 feet in open water, much of which has already been complete in really call it the northeast portion of the work. So like I said, that work continues. We look forward to continuing to coordinate with our dredging contractor, with the Houston Pilots, with our customer base for that project finalizing and us going to work with full 45 feet. So real quick, kind of what's going on in our world and what we are forecasting for the year.
I have a question for you. On the cruise ship terminal.
Yes.
What is actually going on there? Is it going to continue with cruise ships coming in? Or I thought I saw one of your big tankers tied out there one day a while back.
We still use the facility for lay berthing and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. What we did have there, and what you might have seen, was a row vessel.
Okay.
April cruise ends. Mm-hmm. We'll no longer be using that facility for cruise business. Essentially, what we're doing, our commercial team is looking at anything and everything that we could use it, more likely for some kind of cargo facility.
So no longer cruise ships are going to be out there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Anything council?
There's one more quick slide.
Oh, is it?
Okay.
Just really
quickly.
No, that's fine. I was getting ready to ask the public questions.
And this is actually the perfect spot for questions because this is just an outline of our community feedback mechanisms. We have the community information line, of course. Our report for 2015, we have 71 total calls to our feedback line. 47 of those were related to activities here at Bayport. 10 of those calls, I should mention, were specifically related to one vessel. We had a ton of calls about it. Everybody all the way up the chain to Roger heard about it that day, and we contacted the shipping line. Hopefully that issue is taken care of. I think that vessel's been back, and we haven't had any further issues after that.
Yes, it has.
42 calls were related to sound issues. 3 calls were just general information calls about dredging. And 2 other calls, one was about vibration, one was about smoke, and neither of those was related to Port Authority operations at the time. If we can track down the source of that, we track that as well. So someone may call and say, hey, I'm hearing some noise, but if we're not working a vessel, we can tell that that might not be directly related to Port Authority activities. Our PHA website, we have a feedback form online. Ryan mentioned the deepening and widening of the channel. We have a site set up specifically for information regarding that project where you can provide feedback on anything related to that specific item. And then, of course, you can always reach me by communityrelations@poha.com.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Any questions from the council? Citizens, anybody have any questions? Mr. Victor says.
Did I understand it correct? The cruise ships are history. This year, or when is that?
We'll be at the end of cruise season, April.
Yes.
April. And there's no plans for cruise ships coming in the future?
Not at this time. From what I understand, our commercial team is looking at anything and everything to use that facility for a cargo operating facility.
When do you expect, or do you expect the larger container ships, the Panama Canal ships to come in here? Do you expect that to happen?
We do at some point in 16. A lot of that ties in with the channel improvement projects that we're working on, as well as coordination with Houston Pilots.
How much increase in containers do you expect to occur in the next year or so?
Well, for 2016, we forecasted a 5% growth in our loaded container volume. When you extrapolate that out at the Bayport facility alone, in total containers, it's around 3.5% in our total volume. So that's kind of our standard growth that we really go with in year in, year out. As we look further out in 2017, we're looking at a much more aggressive growth pattern that's really driven by export commodities, up to 15%.
You know what it means for Shore Acres? Thousands more trucks going by, just the perimeter of the city. which is not really helpful from my perspective to see all these containers, trucks going back and forth. How many jobs do you think this has helped this community, Shore Acres, get? You know, now I heard the number is 100,000 some odd for, I guess, Harris County and Ithaca.
The entire Port of Houston, on a whole, creates 1.175 million jobs.
Okay, that's a lot of jobs.
It's a lot of jobs.
And how many jobs do you think citizens of Shore Acres participate in? Maybe six or seven?
Well, it depends. This includes, and I cut off, it includes direct and indirect jobs as well. So it may be something that, you know, someone's not necessarily unloading a container or driving a truck, but it's a job that's generated because it's kind of a second tier from that.
So like
activity.
A truck driver or something of that nature, basically, from the, I see what your point is.
Yeah.
Okay, this is my last comment and question. The port has brought in a lot of environmental damage to this little town in the form of noise from containers banging, pollution, truck and noise, and air pollution from the trucks going through the neighborhood. Is there any effort by the port to recognize or some way to repay this little town for the environmental damage that's causing this little city? Now, everybody else is benefiting, the whole state, the port, everybody else, but this little community. So I'd like you to think about that, at least bring it up at one of your meetings and see if there's some way you can compensate us for environmental damage that's occurring with each addition of 1,000 or 10,000 trucks. Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes, sir.
John Hill, resident here. Just curious, the one slide, I think you mentioned more cranes going in.
Yeah.
I just wondered, what are the plans going forward? How many cranes that port's going to actually wind up having? And are they going more out toward the bay, or are they coming back toward 146?
We'll actually be, full build-out shows us going to both directions. And our next phase will be further to the east, to the bay. We'll be adding three. So today we're at 9, that 3 will put us to 12, at full build out we'll have 21. So we'll go an additional 1,000 feet to the east, and then an additional 2,000 feet to the west.
How long do you think before that build out might be complete?
It's all based on demand, and right now all that build out is within the 15-year plan. Speculation right now, depending on what business does and what the dynamics of vessels do, but that right now is sure. The idea.
Thanks. Any other questions?
Just on the crane thing, because I know I've spoken with you. I think half those calls were for me. But anyways, I know that there was a big issue with, the essential dropping of the containers. And so they put the laser-guided assist onto the cranes.
Yes.
Where the operators are supposed to, you know, it overtakes and it's supposed to set it down nice and quiet. I know a few weekends or maybe a couple months ago, it wasn't foggy because I know they can operate in the fog because of the laser. It wasn't foggy, it was crystal clear. And I mean, it was impeccably, terribly loud. So as the new cranes, are they all going to be fitted with that technology?
Yes.
Because I can't even fathom how bad it would be without it. Well, yes, I can because I live with it. But I just wanted to make sure that, and I also really want to make sure that the operators are not overriding that system because it gets very, very loud.
What you're referring to is the laser profiling system that actually tells the crane every time it goes over the vessel with the changing dynamics of the vessel going up and down and the profile of the stacks changing, it tells the crane exactly where it's at and puts the crane in an automatic slowdown when it's 18 inches from the landing spot. So it takes the complete control out of the operator and puts the drives in a slowdown mode. There is no way for the operator to disable that. You have to actually go into the drive software, fire maintenance staff, and disable it, and they only do that when there's a safety issue because of weather elements or that kind of thing.
Okay.
Because really, we want that on just as much as anyone else, because what we learned very quickly is having that software in, it became a huge maintenance cost save in favor for us. You know, the soft landings reduce the wear and tear on the equipment, increase the uptime, and that's what we're after as well. So it's not something that we're disabling. It's not something the operators have the ability to disable. And it's something that we'll continue to equip all new cranes with.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to thank y'all again for showing up, coming out, giving the presentation. We greatly appreciate it.
All right.
Thank y'all very much. Have a good evening. You're welcome to stay if you'd like to sit down at the council meeting if you'd like.
I hope you don't mind this week.
Y'all have a good evening. Right. Stay warm. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you again.
Thank you very much. Approval on item 4.0, approval of minutes 4.1, regular council meeting December 3rd, 2015. If the council's had time to review the minutes, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Any questions? If no questions, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay. The ayes have it. Moving on to item 5.0, council reports and requests. 5.1, Mayor Moses. 5.1.1, update on State Highway 146 sound wall progress. I'll take a deep breath on this one.
Okay.
Once again, just to give an update, this wall basically does not belong to Shore Acres, nor do we have any legal recourse against the state or anybody else on this. But I've been trying to stay up with the state on this sound wall. I spent a lot of time talking to people in the emails. Just to give an update, as of right now, they have started the north side getting it replaced. I have to say that they look really good as far as the aggregate on it and whatnot. But as long as the ground is wet, 18-wheelers will not come in with a load. They will sink. So now we're back to square one again. When the ground dries, they'll start coming back in. There's not really much to report on it. I feel bad to say that, but it's the same song and dance. I have to say I'm a little frustrated with it myself. However, once again, we have no authority over the sound wall. But they are going to try to get it done as quickly as possible. I was hoping they'd have the north end done by December. My understanding, they were going to have the wall completed by December 2015. That was 2015. Now we're at the point that until it dries up from the recent rain, they won't run any trucks in there. They don't want to stick them. So hopefully it'll get moving on sometime in the very near future. I'm going to wait and contact them next week. Hopefully if it dries up, and we'll see what moves from that point on. Moving on to 5.1.2, offer of a property to expand to Bayou Forest Park. I want to bring this up. We had he's not a resident, but he's a builder here in Shore Acres. Mr. Danny Fleming has built numerous homes, especially in the Bayou Forest area. On the curve of Bayou Forest on the west end there, the south side, as you make the curve there on the 3500 block, there's a lot there. It's actually two lots that go into the bayou. He has had that lot up for sale for some time, and he wanted to bring it up to the council and the council's information and the citizens that he is willing to sell that at a lower rate to the city and even offer financing if we want to put in a city park. There is an area there that's designated, if I'm correct, it is already designated as a park, correct?
David, yeah, we do have a park.
We do have a park. There is a bench there. That open area there on the curve, he is offering to come down at a lower rate. If the city council wants to entertain the idea, or citizens contact our council members and let us know they want to entertain that idea, it's something we can have Mr. Fleming come talk, but he just wanted me to bring that up. It's a beautiful little piece of land there. At one time I actually owned it. I will say that the deer tend to eat there quite often, but it's something we want to bring up, so I'm going to put that on the table for people to think about. Moving on to item 5.1.3, items of community interest. At this time, I'd like to bring up, we had a death in our city yesterday, Ms. Angela Johnstone. She's a longtime citizen of Shore Acres. Unfortunately, she passed away yesterday. Our condolences to the family. With that being said, I know that she was a big advocate of the police department, and I know that recently she had her mailbox just hit. I think it was pretty much hanging over, and they bring the mail. I guess she gets her food delivered through the U.S. Postal Service. But needless to say, she had a her mailbox knocked down. She's bedridden, couldn't get it replaced, no family locally. And the chief had talked to her, I believe, the day before her passing, or a few days before passing, with the sergeant. They had stopped by to check on her, do the frequent stops. Needless to say, the chief had school to attend. And Officer Salcedo was told about it. He went out and checked on it, and on his off time, he went and purchased the mailbox and replaced it for the lady, Ms. Johnstone. And so I want to give kudos to the police department and Officer Salcedo for taking care of that. I don't know the exact extent of the story there, but the bottom line is our police department stepped up and did that on his off time with his own money, and we greatly appreciate that. And once again, our condolences to the family. With that being said, I'm going to move on to item 6.0. 6.1, public comment. This is the opportunity for the public to address the council or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council. Dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law to participate in discussion and deliberation of these items specifically identified on this agenda. With that being said, I know these two folks won't speak. I'll start right here and work my way to the left. Anybody in the back row would like to talk? You'll please come up, give your name and your address. And
I'm Felicia Ramos, 3416 Sunrise Drive. I know we're supposed to call the police when there are vehicles that are hauling Heine, you know, down the roads. Today, actually, I was out checking my mailbox, and if I would have stepped back a good step, I would have seriously got hit. You know, I have no kids. You know, I know a couple people down the street do. And, you know, Saturday, I was out in the front yard, and, I mean, they're clearly going way over 30. So, the possibility of putting in speed bumps, and I know y'all probably hate speed bumps because I do too, but in order to get us to go slower down, because, I mean, our roads are long, you know, so you can clearly get up to, like, 40, 45. You know, I can test it tonight, and I'm just joking. But, yeah, if we can just do something to slow down, you know, the cars, because I think speed bumps would probably be a better option, but I don't know. So that's all I have to complain about today, though.
Thank you, Ms. Thomas. Diane Victor, 3346 Miramar. I would like to encourage council to look into this by Forest Park. If we could figure out some way to purchase the money, especially if they would let us do it on installments or something.
Diane, I'm sorry.
Do I need to come up there?
Yes. And the reason I say the microphone gets you better, I don't want anybody to miss the audio. And I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll start over. I would just like to encourage you all to look into the purchase of this Bayou Forest Park property if it's available. It's really hard to get land and have it for a park, and if this is an opportunity. I don't think there's any little parks over there in Bayou Forest anyway, except for the wetlands. So this is adjacent to what Shore Acres already has, that little pocket park. So it would be a nice addition. And I would like to encourage you to look into it and see if there's some deal we can come up with builder. Okay? Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Jerry Victor, 3346 Miramar. Just a question about the heavy trash pickup. Is it going to happen this year? If you know when it's going to happen, we'd appreciate the citizen being advised. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Miramar is on the list tonight, 3316 Miramar, David Durani. My questions kind of lead to one area, but it's all it's a multi-question thing. We had sewage backup from the city on Miramar twice in the last 30 days. And my questions are this, and maybe David can add to this, because I did talk with him at some length on the second event, but this were both after rain events. My understanding is, from talking with Loopy and Public Works, is the pipes for the sewer on that street start pretty much the beginning of the run, starts at the north end of Miramar, and then heads it into the circle and heads up. But at my house, it was backed up to my foundation twice after a rain event. That's a new thing. That's never happened to us before in my knowledge. The only time we've ever had a backup is on my side. So what I'd like to know is what's changed to make that happen, and leads into my next question. That was after a one-day rain event. If we have a five-day rain event, other people are going to figure out that they can't flush their toilets, do their wash, do anything. What are we going to do if there's a five-day event? And I, according to Mr. Stahl, it was not related to the situation that is ongoing on Bayou. And I'd like to have that addressed as well, because I'm not sure I understand that. And leading into that, Loopy went and turned lift station 2 or whatever it was on Shore Acres once I made him aware of it on 8:30 on last Friday. Excuse me, I guess it was Thursday. Why does it take a manual flip of that switch at that lift station to get this situation under control? Because it still took a matter of 8 hours before I could use my sewage system on my house. And leading into that even further, why would the city not make other residents aware of this situation and limit their water usage so that other houses may not experience the problem or have a potential flow in to houses? Lukey's saying the manhole covers are the lowest point. Well, that's crap. The roads have been built so high, they're above a lot of the houses, particularly up and down Fairfield, but mine sits below the manhole cover. So if it flows over, it's coming in my house. So I would like to know what's changed, what we're going to do, and if we have a five-day rain event, my house is worthless. And a whole lot of other houses are absolutely positively worthless because you cannot use anything in your house. You will have to move out and go somewhere else. So I want to know what's going on with the sewers. And then going into this park thing, and I know I'm an elitist guy that sits up on Miramar, but we have a hard time maintaining the brushy overgrowth on Miramar Park. We couldn't even get it done until it happened here just not long ago. I mean, we couldn't do it on July 4th. And I own some property in Baycliff and San Leon, and I looked at that for so long, and I'm thinking, we're trying to attract builders and people in here, and we have a waterfront, which is the main attraction for this city to live here, that looks like San Leon, Baycliff, and all that on the waterfront. People that walk, they talk about walking up and down the street, they can't even see the water. So if we entertain another lot, I'd like to know how we're going to maintain that when we can barely afford to maintain the one that we have that is our crown jewel, so to speak. And that's where I'm at. I'm more concerned with sewer than anything else, so I'd like to have some input on that, please. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. If not, we're going to move on to item 7.0. 7.1, General Activity Report, City Administrator David Stahl. I'm going to move on to 7.1.1, Replace Excavator. David?
Yeah, let me back up on the General Activity Report and just touch on a couple of things. We have a city code that deals with speed bumps, and there is a process and procedure for applying for speed bumps. So we can get you some information on that.
Okay.
The Bioforest Park, the property that's being proposed or offered for sale, it abuts by property line the existing park property, but there is virtually no land connection between the two. They're on opposite sides of the water, that body of water there. And we're going to be talking about sewer and lift stations and other things. And for a point of clarification, there was nothing manual that we had to do with lift station number 3. I did ask Mr. Quintero to go and make sure that both of the pumps were running, and if they weren't, to manually turn them on. But the SCADA system had it well in hand, and they were both running. And that is a water inflow issue that we have that we'll discuss at an appointment upon the agenda. I just want to mention those three items. replacement excavator in your packet. You'll see I've issued a purchase order. This is the mini excavator, they call them the little mini Traco, that we had that was stolen. last year from the public works yard. We went through a process with our insurance and make an insurance claim and deductible, and of course we don't get made completely whole on that. And that being the case, we would have both the deductible and the increased cost of the equipment to make up. We worked with the vendor for Kubota, who we originally purchased that from, which is Lansdowne Moody and Webster. And they then contacted Kubota, the manufacturer, and it took a little while, but they did a good job for us and negotiated with Kubota because it was for a small government entity and it was stolen, that Kubota would sell that to Lansdowne Moody for the same price they did 2 years ago, and that Lansdowne would then sell it to us again for the same price that they sold us a 2013 model. And so we're getting a new Traco, current model, exact replacement, same bucket, same specifications for the same price we paid for it for a little more than 2 years ago, which is a really good deal for us and gets us just down to the deductible. We expect that in another week or two, and I know that Mr. Ingram is anxious to have that back and for us to stop leasing a unit in the meantime. Any questions on that before I move on to the next thing? The skater repair, you know, we were hit by lightning. It's caused us quite a bit of difficulty in coordinating our two water plants. Between the two, as you know, we boost from water plant two to water plant one every night to fill these ground storage tanks because we have no water source here other than that. That lightning took out the radio system, and it looks like it did even more damage than the initial investigation. We have a contractor out of Dallas, JTS, who is qualified to do that work, and I have retained them to do it. In your package is their proposal. You can see that the total of the proposal is $17,468.91. But I would call your attention to the fourth line on the first page of the proposal. And you can see that this is being quoted as a total not to exceed amount, and that the work will be invoiced in a time and materials basis. So there is a long list of things that they will be doing in the case of replacing and repairing on this list. But when they're actually here on the ground, if all of that's not required, then they won't do that and we won't pay for it. It will be on a material and time basis with a not to exceed. So we're locked in at the $17,468. The good news here is we're also insured. We're making the claim. We'll have to front the money. But we do have TML insurance on that. We added that equipment to our schedule, fortunately. It's only a $2,500 deductible, so we're in pretty good shape there. However, this will cost us a little more than the $2,500 because I would call your attention to scope of work item number two is radio system maintenance and optimization at the Gateway sign site. When we purchased the sign through a grant, we paid nothing for it. Well, we got two grants to put that entrance sign in, the video display. It was designed to work on our SCADA wide area network. They put in the transceiver equipment and the antenna, and because of the large number of trees that we have between that sign and this building, the signal was never able to make it. We had the same problem with lift station number lift station number one, which is by the railroad tracks. It could not make it from the other side of the highway here, so they put a relay in at water plant number two. So that lift station shoots the signal to the water plant on Bioforest, and then it is on the water tower and shoots it here to City Hall. So what they will be doing here should not be very expensive, but they will be turning that antenna and using the same relay system to go from the entrance sign to the water tower to City Hall, and we will finally be able to remotely control and update our sign. There was a period of time when we were able to do it by driving out there and sitting in front of it with a laptop and connecting to it, but when that came to an end on the contract, it was put on the WAN system, and it didn't work. So we've been effectively locked out of that sign for about a year. Mm-hmm. We look forward to getting control of that sign again. All the equipment on this proposal has been ordered. The rental equipment is going to take a bucket truck to do the antenna on the water tower and some other things. Is all being scheduled, and as soon as they have all the equipment in hand and the rental scheduled, then they will notify us with a schedule for doing the work. So Christmas and New Year's kind of slowed the process down, but I expect this month in January, hopefully, they'll be able to schedule that up and get out here and get that, and we'll be back up and running. And that's all I have on the SCADA repair. Any questions on that? Moving along, the election's coming up every year. We have a municipal election. The first date to file for office is January 20th. The last day to file is February 19th. So there's a 30-day window. We have mayor and two alderman positions that are up. The incumbents there are Mayor Rick Moses and Alderman Richard Adams and Alderman Michael Wheeler. The calendar and the forms are on the city's website. They've been up there for a little while. I would suggest if you, you know, download the filing form, that you give me a couple more days. Last Thursday or Friday, the Secretary of State changed the form for filing for this election. So we'll be updating the website with the new form. And the election will be on May 7th in this very room. Any questions on the election? And that is all I have for administrative support.
All right. And on item 7.2. Mr. Cole.
7.2 is the financial report, monthly financial report. You're going to get plenty of financial reports this month. This is the December report. Since we canceled the second meeting in December, so this goes just through the end of November, which is very little of our fiscal year starting off. And so I'm just going to touch on it briefly, and in 2 weeks I'll be back with the January report, which will take us to the end of the calendar year. Our general fund revenues, we have received 5% of our revenues, and our expenditures have been 14%. That is not unusual in the first quarter because property tax revenues don't come in to the end of December and into January. They don't become delinquent until February 1st. So we have revenues lag expenditures in the first quarter. It won't even be on the next report, but I will tell you that today I deposited over $330,000 in property tax revenue. So we're over the hump on that. If you move back to the checking information, you can see further evidence of how revenues lag expenditures. At the end of the last day of November, the general fund balance was $12,059.66. The utility fund balance was $48,157.26. We also have $56,136.08, which does not belong to us in our service deposit account on our utilities. In our CDBG fund, which is our grant fund, we're no longer making expenditures, and that money is there for closeout. The balance on that is $978.18. Our starting balance, the seed money we put in there to start the grant process for community development block grants, was $1,000. And when we do finally close out the grants, we will have the balance there. We'll go to the general fund. There is a service fee on that account of $22.46 a month. So as soon as we get that closed, we'll stop that, but that's what will keep us from getting our full $1,000 back. The next item is our tech pool account. That's our investment pool. At the end of November, our balance in the tech pool was $684,188.46. The next page will be our certificates of deposit. We have four laddered certificates of deposit. The maturity value is $255,852. The next page is our sales tax revenue. We don't have a lot of commercial, but we do get some sales tax, and looks like the pages are out of order, so I'm going to go ahead and do sales tax. For November, we brought in $5,417.92 in general sales tax and $1,354.48 in road maintenance sales tax. That's 15% down from the same month last year, which is really an anomaly because there was some revenue and things that were moved around last year by the comptroller. I think we're still going to be on track this year to get receive our full budget amount of $67,000 in general sales tax. And then we'll back up a page to our property tax. And you can see that as the end of November, our year-to-date property tax received is $27,455.02. We're improving on that weekly. And that's the financial report.
Thank you, David. Any questions from council? No questions. I'm moving to item 7.3, monthly police report. Chief Harrison.
Thank you, Mayor.
Joseph.
I'll just go over a couple of things on the report real quick. The small town only have even a few things that makes us look bad, but I'll bring your attention to the burglary, the criminal mischief, and the theft. It was all committed by one person, and he was arrested. So that was three crimes solved by the arrest of one person. The only other thing December held for us was the typical December calls. We had one person report some damage to some Christmas lights. And to be quite frank with you, for even a city this size, just to have one resident report Christmas decoration damage was pretty good. I wish it had been nobody, but I think one's pretty low. Other than that, everything else is about normal.
Is that the structure fire? That the one?
Sir?
That structure fire, that's the one you just mentioned? What was the Christmas light?
The Christmas light was carried as a theft.
I'm sorry,
criminal mischief.
Okay. What about the structure fire? What was that?
It was a smoke alarm. It goes in under a fire because that's how they put it in, but it will smoke.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for the chief? Thank you, chief. Have a good evening. I appreciate it, sir.